We have no other option but to follow Jesus, for that's the only life we have. Anything else apart from him is just death. We don't want to follow that road. We want to follow Jesus and follow his life and his anointing. Amen. Hallelujah. If the ushers will come, we're going to go ahead and receive the offering tonight.
Special. I wanted to be in church tonight and even speak. I've had some special moments today, and I thank God for them all. I'll be watching. All right. Glory to God. Happy birthday. That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Somebody say, God is good. All the time. Somebody say, all the time. Yes. Amen. So we're going to be speaking about healing again tonight. And I'm going to tell you, this is the key right here. If you can get this, if you can get the revelation of it. Remember we spoke last week on how to stay healed. And so this is one of the keys, the greatest key, I believe, in the scripture to give us understanding that it's God's will for you to be healed, for you to feel good. Amen. I also believe that faith is the victory. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so let's look at Psalm tonight, 107. Psalm 107. And it's good to see you in God's house. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. Rachel came by and brought a cake. Whew, Lord have mercy. Pumpkin. Thing was pink. I don't know how she did that. Pulled that off, but it was a pink pumpkin cake. We thought the rapture took place when we ate it. I mean, it was so good. I said, it couldn't be anything on earth that good. Psalm 107. Very simple scripture. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Holy Spirit, cause every word to come forth accurately, boldly, as you'd have it to come forth. Let us say exactly what needs to be said. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We pray for miracles in people's lives, healings in the name of Jesus, Father God. Those that watch on live stream, let it happen, Father. We give you thanks, God. In Jesus' name, we ask it and we pray. And everybody said amen. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Everybody say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and point your finger at yourself and say, I am the redeemed of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, the word redeemed is mentioned something like 25 times. And it's used in the New Testament, but it's used several different Greek words to describe it, but they all basically mean the same thing. And this is what I want you to get, is that it means deliverance, it means rescue, it means a ransom, it means somebody paid the price for you. And so that's just a little bit of it. But that's one of the things that you need to have in your spirit tonight when you say, I am redeemed. I'm saved. Remember we said last week that when you are saved, the word is soteria, it is salvation, but it's all inclusive of the fact that you've not only been saved, but you've been delivered. You have safety. You have been rescued. You are blessed. You have prosperity. Somebody say amen. I have health. Somebody say, and I have health. I have health. The sad thing about that is so many of believers, they believe that they're saved, but they don't believe they're healed. If we would become convinced that we're healed, redemption is for our healing as well as our salvation, things would change in our hearts and spirits. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Amen. And so that doesn't mean that you'll never be attacked in your body or the enemy may not ever attack you. It just means that when he does, that you've got an arsenal of weaponry that you can take him out with. And you can begin to stand on it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Somebody say amen. Now, our faith is one of confession. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus, if you shall confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's the same thing in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus is talking and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and understand, I believe that he's spoken about, you can speak to a literal mountain, but you can speak to anything. You can speak to your body, you can speak to the sickness, you can speak to the poverty, you can speak to the adversary, and you can confess what the word of God says. Amen. And so this is what's important. You know, the devil only understands the law. He's a legal devil. Somebody say he's a legal devil. And you got to handle him legally. And I think that sometimes why people don't have the success that they need to have or the breakthrough that they need is because when they go into the courtroom and where the accuser of the brethren is standing before the throne and where he's attacking you, that you come and bring nothing. You need something. Somebody say, I need the word. I need the word. So our faith is one of confession, of speaking. So from the time that we're born again and throughout our lives, we confess Christ before men. Remember in the beginning stages of Christianity, Christianity was called the Great Confession because people confessed Christ as Lord. They confessed him as Savior and they learned to confess him as their healer. Somebody say, he is my healer. Because that is our focus tonight. He is my healer. So Psalm 107 is simply a command. Listen, a command. Everybody say it's a command. It is a command. So often we say the Ten Commandments. But there are many things in the Word that we're supposed to command. Amen? So it's a command. He says we are to simply command or confess or speak what God says. When Jesus spoke to the devil, what did he do? It is written. It is written. When he fed the multitudes, he looked up to God and began to pray what the scripture says. He knew God was the provider. Somebody say amen. Anything in life, we need to confess it with our mouth. And so we speak what our redemption has purchased for us. What it has purchased, what it's bought, what it's accomplished. So what does the Bible say concerning redemption? What does the Bible say concerning redemption? What are we redeemed from? What are we redeemed from? Revelation 5, listen to this. Jesus has redeemed us unto God. Redeemed us unto God. Somebody say hallelujah. So therefore, if he's redeemed me to God, I'm a son of God. I'm a joint heir with Christ. I am a child of God. I'm a son or a daughter of God. Your daughters that are here tonight. Amen. We are. So he has redeemed us to God. Listen, by his blood. Somebody say, by his blood. And I like this because one of those Greek words is agorazo. And exagorazo, but garazo is an important word because it means that Jesus went into the marketplace of sin where the devil was at, holding your life in his hand, because that's what happened to you when Adam sinned. You forfeited your sonship. The devil became your father, and everything that the devil had began to be poured into humanity. So wag your head, yes. I know it's a lot to swallow, but remember Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. So until you get born again, the devil's your daddy. That's enough to make me get saved. Hallelujah. If I'd have understood that, I'd have said, no, he ain't. Yes, he is. No, he ain't. Yes, he is. Because the works of your daddy would you do. That's what Jesus said. And so it's important for me to do the works of my Father in heaven. Somebody say, yes, it is. So in that marketplace, let's just look at the devil as the auctioneer, and he's auctioning you off. Jesus comes in, and the price is the blood, the sinless, spotless sacrifice of his life, his blood, his precious blood, his sinless blood. And so in order for you to be redeemed, somebody had to die for you. Now listen, couldn't have been a dog or a cat or a cow or a bull. Couldn't have been a goat. Couldn't even have been another man. Jesus talked about that. He said, Paul did, scarcely will somebody die for a righteous person. And there's people in the military that give their lives and lay the lives on the line for you and I, but they can't save you. They can die for you on that battlefield so that we can have freedom in our nation, but you can still die and go to hell. For you to be redeemed, you got to be washed in the blood of Jesus, the Son of God. His sinless, spotless blood. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Krishna, not the Dalai Lama, not anybody else. Got to be Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. Jesus. It has to be Jesus. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, the Bible says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And I like to say, Jesus paid your ticket. I said, Jesus paid your ticket. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. What did he say? Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus bore your curse on the tree. Jesus bore your death on the tree. Jesus bore your sin on the tree. And he bore your sickness on that wood. Somebody say, yes, he did. Amen. That the blessing of Abraham, now remember this, listen. The law came, Abraham came 400 years before the law. I want you to get that. Because this is important, because with Abraham, God made an everlasting covenant. That covenant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We have an everlasting covenant with him. All the other covenants, the Adamic covenant, the Edenic covenant, the Davidic covenant, you know, all the other covenants that are in the scripture, the Noahic covenant, all those other covenants are passed away. They're not any good. We can talk about them, but when he spoke to Abraham, listen, before the law ever came, before Moses ever climbed that mountain and took the Ten Commandments, before the law ever came, this is what's important. You got to get this. Before that ever happened, God made a covenant with Abraham, an everlasting covenant. And he said, through you shall all the nations of the world be blessed. Nations are going to come out of your loins, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Anytime you hear the word Gentiles, you got to think about sinners. You and I are Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're Jewish by adoption. Amen? Well, you might be Jew. I don't know tonight. You might be Jewish. And if you are, praise the Lord for you. On the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, we've received the promise of the Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Everybody say, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. Oh, I've been adopted into the family. You know, adoption is stronger than a blood-born son. It is. It is. Powerful. Listen, and if you be Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise with an everlasting covenant. God said, my covenant will I not break, and the word that goes out of my mouth, I will not alter it. So I got to know what's in that covenant. I have to know what's in there, my redemptive rights and privileges that he's given to me. So to understand this, I've got to go back. Everybody say, I got to go back to the old covenant and find out what the curse of the law is. And so that is important. Somebody say the curse of the law. So the law is defined as the first five books of the Bible. We've been calling it the Pentateuch. First five books of the Bible. Everybody say the first five books of the Bible. That's what the law is. That's what it's considered in the Bible. Okay? Defined as the first five in the first five books. So when one reads through the law, we find that the curse or the punishment of breaking that law is what? Poverty, sickness, and disease. When you read the law, you're going to find out. This is what the curse is. Poverty, sickness, and disease. Everybody say poverty, sickness, disease, and the second death. And you don't want the second, death. Somebody say, what's the second death? Hell. All right? We're not going to die the second death. We only die one death. We pass from death to life in Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. So listen. So the punishment of the curse, when you break the law, the punishment of that curse is what? It happens in poverty, it happens in sickness, and it happens in the second death. You got it? Ever say poverty, sickness, second death? All right. So we can find the blessings and the curses tied to serving God in the book of Deuteronomy. And this is what we're going to read tonight, because I doubt very seriously that some people have ever even read this. And you need to know what it says so that when it comes at your house and knocks on your door or shows up on your body or in your mailbox or through somebody, that you'll know that's a curse that I've been redeemed from by the blood of Christ. Somebody say amen. So the curses would come upon people because they failed to observe and to do the commandments of God. Did you hear me? Under that old covenant, when those Jewish people disobeyed God, went into rebellion, failed to keep his commandments, it opened them up to everything. It opened them up to poverty and sickness and the second death. It did. That's what it brought. That's where it came from. Somebody say, thank God that my Bible says in the book of Colossians that Jesus nailed the handwritings and the ordinances that were against me to his cross. Took them out of the way. He nailed that old curse. He took the curse. Somebody say, he took the curse. Why did he take it? Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. And it took him and him alone. Somebody say, him and him alone. If you need to find all that out, read the book of Hebrews. We're not going there tonight. All right, so you find the blessings and you find the cursings in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And so they come up on people. Why? Disobedience. Rebellion, did not keep the commandments, didn't keep the statutes. So, in other words, we're saying that they took that law lightly, they ignored it, and they had to do it yourself religion. I can do it. Somebody say, I can't do it. And we certainly can't. So, we're going to read tonight, and I'm going to read this from a little different translation to help you understand it better. And it's several pages of this cursing and blessing. All right, you ready to go? Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse number 1. If you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, and heartily obey all his commandments that I command you today, God, your God, will place you on high, high above all the nations of the world. All these blessings will come down on you and spread out beyond you, down on you, and spread out beyond you because you have responded to the voice of your God. God's blessing inside the city, God's blessing in the country, your crops of the land will be blessed, the young of your livestock will be blessed, your calves of your herds will be blessed, the lambs of your flocks will be blessed, God's blessing on your basket and your bread bowl. God's blessing in your coming in, your going out. God will defeat your enemies who attack you. They'll come at you on one side and one road in one way and flee on seven roads. God will order a blessing on your barns and workshops. He'll bless you in the land that God, your God, is giving you. God will form you as a people holy to him, just as he promised you, if you keep his commandments. There it is again. The commandments of God, your God, and live the way he has shown you. All the peoples of the earth will see you living under the name of God and hold you in respectful awe. How many know how important it is today, even under the new covenant, to live that way? Remember, we spoke about that. It brings glory to the God of heaven. If you're living something beyond what the name of Christ means, you're a hypocrite. He said it doesn't fare well with hypocrites, because you're taking everything that he did and you're spitting on it. You hear me? Okay. Verses 11 through 14. God will lavish you with good things, children from your womb, offspring from your animals, and crops from your land. The land that God promised your ancestors that he would give you. God will throw open the doors of the sky vaults, pour rain on your land on schedule, and bless the work that you take in your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't even have to take out a loan. God will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always be the top dog, never the underdog, as you obediently listen to and diligently keep the commands of God, your God, that I am commanding you today. Don't swerve an inch to the right or to the left from the words that I command you today by going off following and worshiping other gods. Somebody say, man, that's some good stuff right there, boy. That's some good stuff. Somebody say, that's good stuff. Say, well, I'm missing some stuff. This is supposed to be happening in our life. Listen, do you know the Bible said that we have a better covenant built on better promises than this? Because Jesus paid for it and made us joint heirs together with him. Mm-hmm. And if we're not receiving it or being blessed like that, we need to get in there and find out why. Okay? Verses 15 through 19. Here's what will happen to you if you don't obediently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and diligently keep all the commandments and guidelines that I'm commanding you today. All these curses will come down on you hard. God's curse in the city, God's curse in the country, God's curse on your basket, on your bread bowl, God's curse on your children, God's curse on your crops and your land, your young, your livestock, your calves and your herds, the lambs of your flocks, God's curse in coming in, God's curse in going out. God will send the curse, the confusion, the contrariness down of everything, everything. You're going to try to make it, but you can't. And there's nothing left of you, all because of your evil pursuits that led you to abandon me. God will infect you with the disease, wiping you right off the land that you're going to end to possess. God will set consumption and fever and rash and seizures and dehydration. My God. Everybody say, help me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. And blight and jaundice on you. They'll hunt you down until they kill you. The sky over you and your head will become iron roof. The ground under your feet, a slab of concrete from out of the skies. God's going to rain down ash and dust down upon you until you suffocate. God will defeat you by enemy attack. You'll come at your enemies on one road and you'll flee before them seven ways. And all the kings of the earth are going to see you as a horror. Carrion birds and animals will boldly feast on your dead body with no one to chase them away. God will hit you hard with the boils of Egypt and hemorrhoids and scabs and incurable itch. Hell, it's bad stuff, ain't it? Wow. You want me to go on? I think we've had enough of the curse. There's a whole lot more. There's several pages of that. I mean, he doesn't stop. And so one of the things that's important for us tonight now, you know, as we were reading that, for you to understand that we can see from scriptures that sickness is a curse. I want to read this to you in verse number 60. We'll read it from the King James Version. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee, and every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. All right? So we can see from the scriptures that sickness is a curse of the law. Everybody say, it's a curse. My God, I mean, it is a curse, isn't it? Who would like to have that coming at your door? All right. So in fact, what we can see from verse number 60 and 61, that sickness and disease are part of the punishment for breaking the law in the first five books of the Bible. Breaking that law. Have you got it? Now, one of the other things that's important for us to understand is that God does not put anything on anybody. That's important because the King James Version translates that wrong. It is the enemy that puts that on you. Why? How does he do it? Because you open the door and let him. And even though we are redeemed from this curse of the law, you can still open the door and receive anything that the devil brings. What does he say in Hosea 4 and 6? My people perish for a what? Lack of knowledge. So the knowledge is the word. We got to have the word so that I will know and understand what Jesus bought and purchased for me and what is part of that curse. That curse has no business in my life and any part of it. It has to go in the name of Jesus because I'm blood bought, blood washed. I'm a son or a daughter of the living God. Somebody say amen. And so Dr. Robert Young, author of Hints to Interpreting the Bible, points out to what I'm telling you about right now. He says that when you read through that and it says God's going to do this and God's going to do that and God's going to do this and God's going to do that, that it is in the permissive tense, it's in the permissive tense. God permits it because he told you. It's like telling a kid. You take your little kid and you tell it, don't touch the unit because the unit is hot. How many have ever told a kid that? I remember seeing a kid go straight over and touch it. Don't touch the heater. Don't touch the exhaust pipe on the car. Don't do this and don't do that because if you do, you're going to get hurt. And you know what? They go right on and do it. What did they do? They disobeyed you. Did you do it to them? No. God does not do it to you either. Man opens the door and the devil's willing to come in fast and ready and to do anything to us that he possibly can. So actually, the translation should read something like this. The Lord will allow you to be smitten. The Lord will allow you to have these plagues come upon you. The Lord will allow these things to happen. So there are also many other verses in the Bible that are in that causative tense as well. And I'm going to read a few of those to you tonight so that you can get an understanding, okay? God is not the one that puts it on you. Satan is. You're a redeemed child of God. Satan brings that stuff to you. Everybody say the devil. Isaiah 45 verse 7, it reads like this. I form light, I create darkness, I make peace, I create evil, I the Lord do these things. Do you think God does that? No. That's the way the King James people translated this. And so that's why you hear people preach sometimes and they say, God's going to kill you. God's going to, this kind of stuff. It's in the causative tense. Everybody say the causative tense. The cause. God does not create evil. He's not darkness. He's light. Somebody say, yes, he is. So if God did that, that would make him the devil. You understand? It would make him the devil. Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Shall a trumpet be blown in a city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? See, if God commits evil, then he has no right to judge men. If you understand, it's important to get this. I want you to know this tonight so that you will full well understand that you are the redeemed of the Lord and the devil has no business in your life. And if you've got gout in your foot and you've got a head that hurts too much and you've got any kind of junk that's going on, that it is a curse of the law. It has no business in your life. And why is it there? It's because we're tolerating it and not confessing or speaking to it and telling it what the Bible says. Because I'm redeemed from the first five books. Somebody say, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. See, there is a difference between committing and permitting. Is this good? Yes. Amen. So it is in the permissive tense. God allows it. Somebody say, God allows it. Why does he allow it? Because he's given you his book, his word, his promise, his covenant, and he wants you to cherish it enough to look in it and find out what it says. Because there's a wealth of wisdom in here. We get ourselves in trouble and hardships and trials and difficulties because we don't do what the book says. See, if we do what the book says, somebody say, if we do what the book says, we save ourselves a lot of trouble. Amen. And so that's why we need to read it. Somebody say, I need to read the Bible every day. I need to read some of that word. I need to read some of that word. Amen. Amen. I've had people say, well, I didn't know that was in there. Sometimes I read it and I say, whew, man, I forgot that. Time to straighten up right there. Let's get that taken care of. Somebody say, amen. Amen. So now we know that God doesn't send evil. He doesn't do it. Come on, somebody say amen. He doesn't commit evil. He doesn't send plagues. He doesn't send sickness. The reason that we see the garbage that we see that's in the land is that God says in the word, New and Old Covenant, he said, these are judgments But the reason that judgments come is because people don't embrace God in his ways, in his word. And they just, you know, they just think, you know, everything's going to be fine and dandy, but it's not going to be fine and dandy. You got to stand up and be proactive and speak and do what you're supposed to do. That's why voting in this past election was important. And it paid off. And it's still paying off. And it's going to continue to pay off. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. So God's word does not teach those things come directly from God. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. So when God's people broke the law, they were no longer under his protective hand. Amen. I love my child. I tell it not to touch the unit. I tell it not to drive fast. I tell it not to make friends of evil people. I tell it not to, but you know what? They have to make their decisions on their own. Somebody say amen. And so it's important, you know, for us to tell what the scripture says, but still and yet, if those things come, I mean, I can get out myself. I can drive down the road running 75 mile an hour all the way down to where it says 45. I can come right down through here running 75 mile an hour. And I may not get caught. But if I do get caught, what am I going to say? You have no business arresting me, giving me a ticket. They're going to say, well, I'll tell you right now, you're running about 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. So I broke the what? Who paid the price? Me. Amen. So there's things that we can do as well. That's what I want you to get tonight because it's important. So therefore, when we read in the Bible that when they disobeyed God, when they were rebellious against God, that pestilence and typhoid and inflammation and death, all these different things, blindness, et cetera, came up on them because they opened the door. Somebody say, broke the law. They worshiped false gods. They turned away from God. Somebody say, yes, they did. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So this is the first step in being healed, is to realize that I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Somebody say, yes, we are. And so this word redeemed that he uses right here is exegorazo. And it's a powerful word because it means I am delivered from that law. I am set free from that law. I am not under the law. Amen. I'm taken away from it. I've been lifted out of it by Jesus. Somebody say amen. Does that still mean that I can go out and live like a devil? No. Because the scripture or the truth teaches me, because the law was a tutor, teaches me, you know, certain things. You know, when we had the black plague and all these different things, if they'd have been in that word, it would have solved a lot of things. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Somebody say, stay clean. It makes a big, big deal. Amen. So exegorazo, it means to rescue. It means to ransom. It means to buy. And that's a very powerful word. So we need to know today that the Lord wants us healed. He wants us whole. He wants us feeling good. Going down the road feeling fine. Somebody say, he wants you feeling good. He wants you feeling good. Not sick, not diseased, not depressed. He doesn't want any of that in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Say thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So listen to me. Disease is broken ease. Did you know that? Disease is broken ease. That's what it is. Sickness is pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. It's just like the other day when I got up and I couldn't walk. I got hit all of a sudden in my knee. And I couldn't hardly move. I couldn't hardly walk. And I started speaking that word, started confessing that word, started speaking that word. And so I just went on down, got me an injection. They stuck that needle in there about that far. I felt like it came out my mouth when they stuck it in there. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. I was going to watch her, but I wasn't quite that bold. And I said, I don't mind watching them give me shots, but hallelujah. But I said, Lord, I know one thing. I know this shot is not going to work unless you breathe on it. So I'm asking you to breathe on it, because I'm going to keep standing and keep confessing. I've been through lots of things and I've been healed. But right now, I can't hardly walk, Jesus, and I need you to do something. Amen. Amen. So sickness and disease, suffering is pain, pain and suffering. Somebody say pain and suffering. Do you honest to goodness think that God wants to put that on his people? No. Uh-uh. He's redeemed us from that. That's what we need to know. Amen. Now listen, sickness is a thief and a robber. Think about what you could do if you felt 100%. Hallelujah. Robin could go elk hunting. You could go visit your favorite place. Hallelujah. See, we need to understand something. There is so much power right here, what I'm talking about. That's why when we pray for people, at times it happens instantly. Because I bank on this, right? I believe this. I am sold on it. I've seen God work creative miracles. I've seen the limbs grow out. I've seen him create the eardrum. I've seen him cure incurable people. I've seen him do all kinds of crazy stuff. I am sold on this right here. And so I want you to know that you're redeemed from the curse. Somebody say, I'm redeemed from the curse. I'm redeemed from a snotty nose. I'm redeemed from green mucus. I know it's kind of sick, but it's true. I'm redeemed from neuropathy, my feet stinging and burning, and I'm redeemed from the gout. I'm redeemed from arthritis, osteoarthritis. I'm redeemed. Somebody say, hallelujah. I'm redeemed from pain in my back and disc out of joint and degenerative disorders. Come on. I'm redeemed from it. And so the enemy wants us to be ignorant of what the scripture says because, you know, for so long, many people believe that God puts it on them. And so we think God's judging that person. No, he's not. He wants that person healed. They'd be in a lot better mood if they felt better. Somebody say amen. Look at your neighbor and say, are you in a bad mood? Well, I bless you in Jesus' name. I command you to feel good. Amen. So it robs husbands of their wives. It robs the children from their parental time. It robs people of peace. It robs their life. I mean, there's nothing good about sickness and disease. It robs us of good times. It robs us of being able to give Jesus the time that we should be giving him. Come on. Sickness robs many a man and woman from peace in their home. Amen. It emasculates. It degrades people. That's what sickness and disease does. Family times can never be taken back right there. Somebody say, I need healing in my body. Sickness and disease rob people of happiness and joy and money. Somebody say money. Money. Man, I don't like giving the devil nothing. And if I have to pay something just like this, whatever that's going to cost me that I got the other day, the devil is going to pay me back sevenfold. He will in Jesus' name. Amen. Why? Because my word, the word of God tells me that. But I ain't going to get it unless I go after it. Somebody say amen. So the key to getting free is realizing and knowing 100%, somebody say realizing, sickness and disease are not God's will for his people. What does the Bible say? 1 John, it says 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Somebody say amen. So I'm redeemed. Somebody say I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. So many think that even that scripture was just for Israel. It's not just for Israel. It's for every one of us. Why? Because Abraham came 400 years before the law. You think there were ailments and sickness? Oh, yes. But and you think Abraham dealt with anything? Sure. Amen. But I think some supernatural stuff happened for Abraham. Somebody say amen. Because we're blessed through him. Somebody say we're blessed through him. Amen. So listen to me. Listen to me. I want you to say today, say, I'm redeemed and I'm not going to allow myself to be robbed any longer. Devil, I'm going to find out exactly where you're at and I'm going to command you to get out and you got to go in Jesus' name. You have no place in me, own me. Or in my house or family or nowhere else. In my finances or nothing else. You have no place here. And because what Paul say, give no place to the devil. Say, give no place. Give no place. Give no place. Hallelujah to God. Now, I want to read this to you right here. This is important. I know it's 8 o'clock, but listen to me. You need this. You need, somebody say, I need it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen. Every single believer, somebody say, every single believer. Amen. Amen. All right, listen. Luke chapter number 13. Remember, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. There's a woman there that has a spirit of infirmity for how many years? 18. She's there. She's bent over. She can't in no wise lift up herself. She's all crippled up and mangled. And so Jesus is there. And so the ruler of the synagogue saw what was going on, because what did Jesus do for her? He said, woman, thou art loose from your infirmity. And immediately, somebody say, immediately, she stood up straight. Her bones popped and everything else and came into place. And she stood up completely healed by the power of God. And so the ruler of the synagogue, when he saw this happening, remember what was going on. It says, because Jesus had healed this woman on the Sabbath day, he got upset about it. And so what did Jesus do? He said, well, wait a minute. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, 400 years before the law, 400 years before the law, being the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? See, she was not sick and bent over because it was God's will. She was under the attack of the devil. And if she'd only knew what Abraham had purchased for her through that everlasting covenant, things possibly could have changed. Somebody say amen. And so her affliction had to leave instantly in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm going to read you this little story right here, and then we're going to leave. All right? Let me see if I can find it. Well, that's a good one too, but that's not the one. Hallelujah. Because I like this one right here. Aren't you glad we're not going through all this tonight? We'll be here 2 more hours. Dr. Lillian Yozman, who was a lady that practiced medicine and surgery many years ago in New York City, she began to take small drops of morphine to steady her nerves. Now listen, to help her to sleep as well. And so eventually what happened to her, she became dependent upon that. And she became an addict. And so she was able to take 50 times as much morphine normally prescribed for an adult man plus other drugs, because she did it all the time. God, it's a miracle she even lived. She tried everything to get free, and she couldn't get free from it. And so it was said that she was like a skeleton, like a walking skeleton, and dying, and seemed to just have a devil on the inside of her. And so her case was considered helpless because nobody could help her. They say, man, you're too far gone, man. You're an addict. There's nothing we can do for you. You've had it. Your body's had it. And she had been saved as a young girl but had backslid. And so when she found herself at death's door, she returned to the Lord. Most people do. And she began to pray. She immersed herself in the Word of God, and she was healed. And when she got healed, she began to preach. She preached for about 40 years, and then her and her sister inherited some property, and they turned it into a faith home where they took people who were beyond medical help, the incurable. They took them in. And they began to minister to their broken bodies and minister healing to them. And so one day, a woman who was in the last stages of tuberculosis came to them. And doctors had given up on her. And Yeomans, she knew that this lady was dying. And so she had this woman carried upstairs in a room. And so she would go up there and she would read to her several hours a day, just healing scriptures. Just read them. Read them. She was confessing it. Somebody say, reading the Bible is confessing the scripture. You need to get this. This is what my wife Deborah did. She read it several hours a day, read it several hours a day, especially from Deuteronomy 28 and Galatians chapter 3. Because she wanted that woman to know what the curse was, what the blessing was, and what Jesus had done in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And so she instructed this dying lady. She said, I want you to repeat to yourself every waking moment this scripture. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. And I want you to say it like this. According to Deuteronomy 28, verse number 22, tuberculosis is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. See, that's important to get that. Arthritis is the curse of the law. Therefore, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of arthritis. Heart disease. Diabetes. Come on. Now listen. Redeem me from the curse of the law. And so, the next day, Dr. Yeomans asked the woman if she'd been speaking those scriptures. And she said, well, I've said them 10,000 times and nothing's happened yet because I don't even understand what I'm saying. I don't get it. So Yeoman said, she began to read more scripture to her, began to read it more healing scriptures over her, and asked her to continue reading those same scriptures that she was reading to her. Said, I want you to keep reading just what I've read to you right now. Keep on reading it. And so the next day, the story was the same. This woman still didn't understand what was going on. And Dr. Yeomans, she really hadn't even prayed for the lady yet. She just had her getting in the word. And so the evening of the third day, everybody say on the third day. On the third day, Dr. Yeoman and her sister were preparing food downstairs, and all of a sudden they heard this big commotion upstairs of this bedridden lady. And so their now patient came bursting down the steps. I got it. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of tuberculosis. And she was healed 100%. Somebody say amen. Now I'm going to stop right there tonight because that's what you need to know. Don't just say it one time. Say it until it manifests. Don't just go get another prescription filled and keep on taking the pill. Get a gospel and take it religiously. Night and day, and say it every waking moment of the day. Say, I am redeemed from the curse of tuberculosis. I'm redeemed from the curse of heart trouble. I'm redeemed from the curse of diabetes. I'm redeemed from the curse of arthritis. I am redeemed from the curse of whatever that it might be that's trying to, it has manifested itself in your body, and say, I'm redeemed from it. And if the devil says, yeah, but look, you've had part of your leg cut off, you've had this done, say, my God is also the creator, and I'm believing that my God is going to create me a new one right now. In Jesus' name. You say it and you say it and you say it and you say it and you say it until it manifests. Amen. Stand on your feet. You got to keep saying it. See, because if you understand, Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. He purposely went to the whipping post. He purposely took that beating. He did that purposely so that he could destroy sickness and disease from your life. Everything that he did in a redemptive act to destroy poverty. You should be able to make a living, be blessed, pay your bills, and have money left over. Amen. Your children is part of the curse. If our children are messed up and in sin, we need to start standing right here. Say, Father, your word says that my children are blessed. And devil, I tell you right now, in the name of Jesus, get your filthy hands off my kid. And stand on the word. Somebody say, stand on the word. And you confess it and you stand on it because Christ has redeemed my family from the curse of the law. I am healed. Somebody say, I'm healed. I am blessed. The heavens are opened over me. The works of my hands are blessed. Everything that I touch. Amen. All right. So I want you to say this with me tonight. Say, Father, I thank you right now. Your word declares, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for me. For as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I thank you right now that Jesus has purchased me, bought me by his blood. I belong to him. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Sickness and disease, poverty, lack, All of those things are history in Jesus' name. And I serve notice on all of them right now. And I say, go in the name of Jesus. I'm redeemed from you. I will not tolerate you. I will not have you in my body, in my life, in my family, or anywhere else in Jesus' name. Because I'm redeemed from the curse of the law in the name of Christ. And plead that blood in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. All right. If you need healing tonight, we'll pray for you. If you need prayer tonight and you want to be prayed for, come on down. We'll pray for you now. If not, we're going to be dismissed. Glory to God. Practice this. Practice it. Go home. Go online. Listen to it. Amen? Listen to it. Get it in here. You have no business. I have no business. You have no business tolerating what Jesus paid for to get rid of. Amen? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you, be gracious to you, and may he grant you peace in Jesus' name. I'll see you Sunday morning. Amen. Come with your halo on and your shout in your heart. No, not tonight. Kevin and Angel, I need to see you a few minutes.